Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Let's do this. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Power of Reinvention. Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm super excited to have my guest, Nadine Karp McHugh, with me today. Hi, Nadine.
Hi, so happy to be here with you.
Well, thank you. I am thrilled. For those who don't know, this podcast came on the tail end of the launch of my book, Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For? The book came out, funnily enough. The pub date was March 7th, 2020, the week before the pandemic sent us all home. And as luck may have it, for me in this case, it sort of became a blessing in disguise. Talk about making lemonade out of lemons. I had to kind of reinvent the book launch marketing plan. And instead of going out on the road and doing book signing events and parties everywhere, I brought it all to us on the screen with the Reinvention Virtual Chats and then launched the podcast. So I have interviewed thousands of people over the last 3 years and really had a lot of fun delving deeper into a conversation that I may not have gotten to have with everybody about their reinventions, about their journeys, about their pivots, their aha moments, their second chapters. And you know, I think we know that during the pandemic, some of us were forced to reinvent some part of our lives, and some of us were invited to reinvent some part of our lives. It's all depending on how you perceive your life and what was going on for you. So, you know, this was, you know, the irony of it all was not lost on me. And I think it's really quite precious to be able to have these conversations. So I'm delighted, Nadine, especially with your story, your journey, and where you are right now, to be able to have this conversation with you. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to give a little bit of background on you, because for those who don't know Nadine, she is a senior marketing and a media veteran who has held executive positions on both the client service and marketer sides of the business at companies like Colgate, L'Oreal, Goldman Sachs, as well as at WPP agencies Ogilvy and Mindshare. She's now the founder of Evolve Up, Inc., a multifaceted consulting firm specializing in marketing and media, transformation and change management, as well as leadership development and professional coaching. Nadine has a real passion for technology and what is possible, and she has a proven track record in both organizational and digital transformation. She's so passionate about helping to drive productive change and empower teams that she's acquired an MS degree in organizational creativity and change leadership. She was a TEDx speaker and also has been recognized for her contributions to the marketing and media industry, having received many awards, including Advertising Age's Women to Watch, Ad Age's Media Maven, the Internationalist Top Marketers, Brand Innovators Top 100 Women Marketers, as well as a Cannes Lion and several Effie Awards. So congrats on all of that. And I had to share that because the gravitas of what you've done and been doing and the impact you've had in the marketing world and space and with these brands is just extraordinary. And I know you wouldn't get on here and tell us all of that, so I had to slip that in.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Much appreciated.
Well, you know what? It's really fascinating for us. You know, I sit in a role where I've been the CEO of a company for 30 years in the marketing space as an outside consultant, advisor, agency of record to so many different companies. But when you're sitting on the inside of a company, and your role is to have that kind of impact and to empower people, but to also turn a ship slightly, ever so slightly or dramatically, it's not that easy, right?
Right. No.
I mean, you've sat in that seat for many a year, and I just have to like recognize how hard that can be. And here you are now with your own consulting practice. And so we're going to kind of delve into the two sides of that, the why, okay. the where, the how you got there. But before we do all that, I want to kind of take you back to who was little Nadine. And, you know, when you were a young lady, a young girl, a young lady, did you realize what you wanted to do? You know, some of us have these dreams. I think I wanted to be a ballerina at one point. At one point in my life, I wanted to be an elevator driver. I thought okay. it was so cool that this guy stood there, you know, yeah. with that little wheelie thing and, you know, closed the gates and made an elevator sure. go up and down.
It was magical.
It was magical, right?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, to have that awe and wonder over anything at this point would be magical. But, you know, growing up, you start to, things happen. You get exposed to yeah. things happen, all kinds of stuff kind of either derails or keeps us on the path of what we dreamt of doing. So
right.
I'd love to know who you were and what that was all about for you.
Well, thanks. So I guess the most profound memory I have, I think that it helped mold me, was with my dad. So, and I didn't realize it until years later when, you know, when you grow up accepting something or believing something, and then you realize years later, wait a minute, not everybody feels this way. I can't believe it, you know, and why is that? And then you remember, you recall. So to start out with, I'm the youngest of three daughters, and I was an oops baby. In other words, an accident.
Because yes. I'm the youngest. I don't know if I was an oops, but I do know I was going to be called John. And I'm Kathy.
I would have been Neil if it was a boy. But but if there's major gaps in the years between you and your siblings, then yeah. likely you too were an oops baby.
Only two. So
so you were probably planned.
Maybe I was planned. I don't know.
But there was 9 and 7 years between us. And so growing up, my sisters were really out of the house a lot. And I remember my dad, who was first generation, you know, we had, you know, very, very modest existence. He would come home from work in looking back, probably not thrilled with what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And he would ask me what I wanted to be with when I grew up. And it always changed, you know, doctor, lawyer, sometimes ballerina. But no matter what I said, his answer was always consistent. And it was, you can be anything you want to be as long as you work hard. So he said, you know, make sure you pick something that makes you happy. And in looking mm-hmm. back, I realized he probably wasn't. So it was sort of his lesson learned that he was passing off to his daughter. So then, you know, fast forward, I started writing when I was 8 or 9 years old, poetry, short stories, stories, plays. I spent a lot of time with my imagination because my sisters weren't home. Yeah. So, you know, that sort of fueled the creativity. And when I got to high school, I decided I wanted to become a journalist. I wanted to be a writer. And that was the first time they both my parents said, no, you're going to starve. You need to pick something, you know, that's going to give you. And I said, you always told me to do what makes me happy and, you know, and the rest will follow. So they kind of were not thrilled. I ended up going into advertising instead because I figured I could be creative, but I could also, you know, it was commercial, so I could make money. I was already settling at 21 years of age or whatever. And so he also wasn't thrilled with that because I started out making $13,000 a year when I first came out,
wow.
plus overtime, and I was working like crazy. And then he said,
how would this generation feel about that right now?
Right, I know.
Can you even imagine?
Yeah, even if you account for inflation through the years, yeah. it still wasn't a lot of money.
Yeah, as it was in those days in the industry.
Yeah. So until Black Tuesday happened, and then he stopped telling me I should have worked on Wall Street and stuff. But mm-hmm. I really credit him for that because I did always like sort of checked with myself, thought, okay, am I happy doing this? I really learned at a young age, if I didn't listen to my gut, you know, I would pay the price. And so it was really good to hone in on that intuition. And that sort of guided me throughout. And then creativity met me when technology hit. Because then truly you could create anything you could think of because technology enabled that to be so. And I think that's also why I wanted to go for the master's I was doing a lot of transformational work. I loved being in the middle of change. To me, it was like putting puzzle pieces together, still is. And I just loved helping to curate. You mentioned a few words that really resonate with me. You talked about impact and you talked about value. So I was always trying to put the puzzle pieces together to come up with that impact and value. And it was very satisfying. So I felt that I needed those credentials. And so I went back for my master's in organizational creativity and change leadership. And
That's
I've used
amazing.
those tools in every, role I've had. Thank you.
I love that. I think, people don't realize sometimes how important those types of words are and how there is real business to be had around creating impact and the creativity and the business piece of it. And the fact that you recognize that, it's like you're really being able to kind of live your North Star when you can understand that. And look, some of us are challenged with finding the things that we're passionate about. And I so often have people, and I'm sure you get a lot of this when people are trying to figure out their way forward now in this new executive coaching business that you're doing. But so often they'll say, well, yeah, that's great in theory, but I have no idea what I really want to do. And that's coming from a 35-year-old and a 65-year-old. They're still like, what am I really passionate about? And the reinvention work that I do and the advisory work and the book and all of this is to help people kind of tune into that and not brush off something that they think is, I want to do something creative, but I'll never make money doing that. Well, there's room for everything in your life. And maybe you have a 9-to-5 job, but some other way you fulfill your creative passion in other places, so you can have what you want in your life.
I think the work you're doing is so important, especially now. And yes, I agree with that. So I took the work I did in the master's program and I embedded it into helping drive the transformation I needed to do on the marketer side, and developing teams and leadership, leaders, to help them sort of embrace the what if and not be afraid of it. So I think people are kind of afraid, and so they come up with excuses. But the master's program helped me to sort of create organizing frameworks so that it makes creativity not this big mystical thing, but something everybody can own.
I love that.
And we are all born creative. It's just what you do with it. So yeah, I think that's so important. And I applaud you and your book and the work you're
Thank
doing.
you. Thank you. No, it's
Sometimes.
just fascinating for me. Like I always look at it and I think I've been very blessed. I've run my own agency for pretty much most of my life. It's been over 30 years, and it was really kind of after a small stint working with someone else became sort of my, I'm 24 and I'm going to start my own company. I don't know who the hell I thought I was, but it was a sense of entitlement that my parents instilled in me and a very entrepreneurial spirit. And I just thought, I'm just going to go create and do what I love. And fortunately, I just sort of stuck with it and it worked. But so many of us don't get that. And you're at a very pivotal point. I want to kind of go back to something you were saying, like within the framework of companies, was that to go in, to be in a big company and to try to have that impact is not easy. And this is kind of what we touched on at the beginning of the conversation. How did you sort of get people to understand the value proposition of what you were trying to do and mobilize teams or upper management and the teams that were working with you to either take the risk, or maybe it was very calculated and trial and error, but it's never easy within a company. And I think that's where so many people get deflated because they feel like their voice and their ideas cannot truly be heard or exercised. So, did you find yourself confronted with that? And I'd be curious to know what you were able to do to try to move the needle when that was challenging.
I mean, every company was different, but I think that the faces change, but the sort of the rules of engagement stay the same. So, I think the first thing you need to do is not come in because throughout all of these, I was hired from, with the exception of leading a big account on the agency side, which really started all of this transformational work. I was already at the agency, but I was new to the account. So the first thing you have to do is really listen and understand the challenges that the people that you're trying to move forward into the unknown are coming from. You need to understand their language. Words are so important. The frameworks in which they're working through, what their spheres of influence are, and honestly, their business objectives, because anything you're doing is not going to stick unless it's helping to drive the needle, move the needle forward. So there's that piece of it. And then there's, you know, meeting the naysayers head on. So I call them the yes butters. So we even had a rule in one of the companies that where we weren't allowed to say yes, but we would call each other on it. It had to be yes and, because when you say yes, but really what you're saying is, I'm not listening to you. I'm waiting for you to finish talking so I can tell you what you should do, because my voice is more important than yours. When you say yes and, you're building upon, you've heard somebody, you've received it, and now you're building upon their idea. Now you have a true collaboration. So
what a subtle nuance.
Yes.
And I will admittedly say that I tend to be at fault for what you just described, and I'm so conscientious of it. I think it's different when you're like doing an interview and you're having a conversation and you're all excited. Sure. But I find, and the one person that points it out to me the most is my sister.
Of course.
Which, of course, I'm like, no, I'm not. You're the one that interrupts. But I think it's so important what you just said. And the upside of understanding why it's so important.
Yes. The upside is that, you know, no one is going to solve the world's problems. But together, collectively, you know, if we work together, we can. And so, and all different perspectives need to be leveraged in order to come up with unique solutions. So that was quite rewarding. And also, you know, truly not being afraid to sort of move forward. You have a vision. You want to bring people along, but you can't listen to the noise. You need to sort of stay focused.
Yeah,
because there's going to be a lot of noise. Most people are not comfortable with change. I think it's less than 1 in 3 are comfortable with change. And so if that's the case, they really need you to help them and to evangelize the change. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to to on a regular basis also show the impact and value it will have, you know, with the end game. So...
yeah, it's interesting. I was just going to say, you know, you said that 1 in 3 people, you know, will be comfortable with change.
Less than.
Very clear point. And I've heard a lot of it spoken that when someone says they want change, like they bring in advisors and consultants, or your role in
That's
a company
right.
is to do something differently to change the outcomes of the business and the growth of the business. They say they want change, but making it happen is near impossible. I would imagine you dealt with that a lot at the types of companies you were at.
Yeah, I think that's right. They say they want change, but they also don't want to let go of anything that they were comfortable with that they knew worked. And so, you know, you need to, I always say, and that's why I called my new consulting firm Evolve Up. I always said it's an evolution, not a revolution.
Exactly.
Revolutions sound very haphazardly. Evolutions are purposeful. You're doing it with intention to continuously grow and learn and move forward. But, and I think language is important too. So adapting to ways of working that, you know, can infiltrate the system that currently exists, and not necessarily just creating a new one, because that's more of a revolution than an evolution.
I think that's where reinvention has become such a pivotal word. Right. And we're talking every day now about the reinvention of marketing, the reinvention of the way we're living. I mean, we're looking at people who, based on what we've just been through with the pandemic, you know, literally have upended all parts of their lives and Yes. New hobbies and new relationships and new living environments. I mean, how many people, I feel like I start every conversation with someone like, okay, where are you? We know where your headquarters are. We're right. on a Zoom call. Like, really, are you there? Or are you like, you know, right. living on a mountain somewhere doing your job? It's given rise to so many people, but we are who we are at the core. We're just reinventing
yes.
the world around us or the path forward. And that evolution or evolving up, I think, is such a wonderful way to really frame, put the framework around the work that you're doing now, which
yes.
I'd love to just kind of touch on if you don't mind the work. So what was the moment, the impetus that made you say, okay, light bulb moment, Nadine, it's time to get out of corporate America? Was it a push? Was it a pull? Was it an itch that needed to be scratched for many years? What was that for you?
I think it was an itch and a push. If I could pick two. Right. So, because I think it's something I've been thinking about for, if I'm honest, a year or two.
Yeah.
And then my role was eliminated. So, you know, the firm decided to go back to what they knew, and they did no longer needed somebody at my level. Yeah. And as I say, I'm glad it happened, but I'm glad it's over.
I love that. Well, sometimes it's, as we say, you know, the kick in the butt that we needed.
Yeah.
So then the first thing was the other side of it, right?
Yep. And then I think that one of the things that was very overwhelming in a very positive way, there were a lot of people that reached out and they were like, you know, well, I'll help you, you know, what do you want your next role, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I want that. I thank you. But yes. I don't think I want to go back to corporate America, at least not now. There were no plans of it. Yeah. I think I want to do something else. And this is the opportunity to do that. And I'm at a point, you know, thankfully, you know, we never lived above our means. We have, you know, the houses are paid for, the kids' college. I'm a big believer in that 529. You yes. know, it's all, I'm actually using some of it now myself.
Yeah.
So I was able to be able, I'm sort of liberated to think, yeah, okay, well, what do I want to do now?
Yes.
It's my time, right?
Yes.
And so what I really wanted to do was focus more on the transformation work, the change management work, and the professional development of others, you know, team building and professional coaching. So I have a lot of heart and soul for that. I'm also deeply invested in our marketing and media industry. I'm very passionate about moving that forward.
Can you speak a little bit about that? Yeah, I'd love to hear more
sure.
about what you're doing.
So helping companies get unstuck. So I'm seeing this a lot with mature startups where, you know, they were very product focused. They were about raising funds. And now they're at a point where they need someone to come in and help them understand what their story should be, what their go-to-market story should be, what audiences they should be talking to. And that's really in my wheelhouse as well. And then how to create stories that are going to drive sales. So so that's something that I've been doing. I've seen thousands and thousands of proposals, and I know what sells and what doesn't sell. I know what people are looking for. And so that seems to be a very interesting space. And then there's anything from go-to-markets to working with agencies. You know, I've led some major teams inside the agency, as well as when I was on the marketer side, trying to create that one team effect between the agency partnership and within the marketing organization.
Right.
So it's really everything from soup to nuts. I did that for 30 plus years.
Right.
And so,
all of that, there's so much in that and
yeah,
some pretty amazing work. Is there something that really really gets you the most excited? Not that it's not all good, interesting,
sure.
stimulating work, but what kind of makes you really smile inside when you're like,
yeah.
oh, I'm getting to do this, or I got a call from a client that this is yeah. my favorite. I get asked that a lot, and you know, I have a lot of favorites, so I know it's a hard
question
to answer,
too.
But that's such a fun yeah. thing to have a lot of
sure.
favorites.
Absolutely.
But is there something that of all of it? Yeah.
Yeah. So. I still think it's the transformation filter. So even, you know, helping companies go from product focus to external, understanding what their audience wants, finding the story, so, and the hook, and the promise. You know, that's one of the things you have to do when you drive transformation internally, is where are those gaps that you can provide value to drive them forward? And I think the same is true in the marketing and media consultancy piece. It's, you know, how can I help you get from A to B in the most meaningful way? And where are those nuggets?
Right. And so, I think it becomes about the why. Like I always say, if people understand the why, it's always going to pull them through. And, you know, it's like when you wake up every morning, or when you've got to commit as a team to doing something. And if you really recognize what the why is and what that end game is, and what it's going to keep pulling you through to that end game.
Absolutely.
And to have a good understanding. And I think that's a lot of what you're describing in all of that. There are a lot of challenges in running your own business. And a lot of people that listen to this show are in a place in their life where, you know, they are looking at reinventing some part of their lives. And it may be career, it may be hobbies, it might be health, it might be spiritual, it might be relationships. There is always risk in change. There's fear that comes with change. Our friend like Beth Comstock from GE wrote this incredible book, and we talked early on when she launched the book. Fear can paralyze a lot of people from doing things. The risk can stop people. That noisy head, voice in our head, can stop us. When you think about the things in those moments that you've had to like really get comfortable with getting uncomfortable about.
Yeah.
How has that fear or that risk, you know, been succumbed or what is it? Squashed a bit. have you gotten rid of that?
Yeah. I think that I've seen probably some very high highs and some very low lows. Which is when you get the worry, you know, sort of wheel going. And that voice in my head, I call her Bad Dean, B-A-D-I-N-E, because she's annoying and she gets on my nerves and I try to push her back. But we're all imperfect, right?
I love that.
To me, the part that is, like, I'm the kind of person that if I'm reading a suspense novel, I'll go and I'll read the last chapter I can enjoy the rest of the book.
Right. I love that. That's hysterical. So,
the part that gets to me is the patience piece.
Yeah.
You know, like if I knew how it was going to go end, I'd enjoy the ride.
You'd be
more.
There.
So
right.
I'm trying to just enjoy the ride. I'm calling this in honor of Shonda Rhimes' book, so I take no credit, my year of yes. So I'm just open to how, you know, the journey and how it's going to go. And so far it's been really good, and we'll see what happens.
That's amazing.
But
I think of people need to learn how to do more of that.
Yes.
And not be afraid of, you know, it's like be afraid of what you're not going to change if you don't take those steps.
Yes.
And being stuck.
Which is also a risk. Right.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing I thought to myself was, I remember tossing and turning and losing a lot of sleep over the years, you know, for whatever reason, whether it was, you know, a boss, or it was, you know, a situation with somebody, an employee, whatever the case may be, or work for a client that was being unreasonable, whatever, pick, you know, fill in the blank. I can't tell you what it was, though. Like, I can't tell you that it was such a waste to worry and to be afraid, because 10 years from now, you won't even remember what it was about. And so I try to keep that very much in the forefront.
I love that. Yeah. I've always said, like, stress is such a waste of energy. Problem, find the solution. Don't waste your energy on the stressing about the problem. Just pivot and go figure out what to do about
it.
Right. And, you know, sometimes easier said than done. But if you can have those conversations with yourself and reframe what you're doing, I mean, so much of what we talk about in this reinvention space and conversation is feeling that sense of entitlement, knowing you are the center of your world. So how do you choose to live it?
Right.
You know, we've been had a lot of things imposed on us all of our lives, and to sort of bust out and say, okay, I'm not going to adhere to what the norms were, but I really want to take hold of my life and build and create and grow or reinvent this next chapter, got to give myself the permission to think a little more open-minded and to yes. not be hamstrung. And, you know, fear is legit for people. Risk feels legit. But if you can put on the rose-colored glasses for a moment and see right. the world in a different way, or change your perspective to think in a different way, a lot more opens up to you. And I feel like there's a lot of good conversations going on that are enabling people, the work that you're doing, the coaching work, the advisory work, like all of that is, you know, giving people the tools to be able to do that better, right?
Yes. Yeah. When I was yeah. leaving Goldman Sachs, one of the people on my team actually said to me, "I just want to thank you for helping me find my voice in business." And to me, that was like the greatest compliment, you know, that I could help somebody to do that so that they could then, you know, live whatever dreams they want to live, I think exactly. is pretty rewarding work. And at this point, that's what I'm really looking for, is the rewarding yeah. work. I love what you said about, you know, persevering and moving forward, because I think one of the things, you and I talked about this before, with COVID, with the pandemic, I think it made people realize how fleeting time really is and how much we really should just create the lives we want to live in while we can.
Yeah.
To me, the worst thing is to regret something that I could have done something about.
Completely. And I think, look, it is that, you know, I go back to the word entitled. We just need to understand we're entitled to that. We are each yeah. entitled to live the life we want. We may have circumstances that will hamper us, that will slow it down. You know, it could be a 5-minute reinvention. It could be a 20-year reinvention. But if you literally set your sights on something that you aspire and you are entitled to have that, it may take 20 years to get there. But if you put that money in the cookie jar, or you start to right. talk to people who are your mentors, or you, you know, go online and figure out how to write a business plan to raise money for something, or whatever it is, you know, put that reinvention roadmap together and right. find a way, take the baby steps. And it may take a while, but every day you get a little step closer and pat yourself on the back for the little right. things that you did towards that goal. It's pretty rewarding. And there's no reason to say, "Oh, I'll never be able to do that. I can't do that. That's not my life. Other people do that." I mean, it's the right. reason we have these conversations, so other people can see there is, hey, if she can do it, I could do that. If he can figure that out, I can definitely, you know, like, let other people be the stories and the examples of what is possible. And that's the fun I have with these conversations, these interviews, the book. It's all about just helping people know they have the permission and right. the wherewithal to do something otherwise that they may have been dreaming about. You know, a lot of people have, as I say, a reinvention in their back pocket. They just don't know when the right time is to pull the trigger on it. And you're right. You yeah. could have gone into your next corporate gig.
Right.
You took a deep breath and you said, okay, what do I really yeah. want? And when we yeah. ask ourselves that question, you know, it may take a while. It's not going to just like pop in our heads necessarily,
right.
but
yes.
to do that work. So when you work with people on sort of this more coaching side of your business, you take people through that process, right? To help kind of unearth and discover what they're passionate about.
It's very tied to, and I'm just getting started with the coaching. So,
but it's very tied
to the change leadership work.
Yes.
Because it's all about, oftentimes the challenge isn't the challenge. And you really need to go through the work and to dig deeper to understand, you know, the why, what's stopping you, or, you know, understand what truly the goals are and the barriers to get there.
Yeah.
So, and it's very much about giving people the tools that they need in order to find their own answers.
Yeah.
When I was at L'Oreal, I developed a Think Differently workshop for the teams, and it was all about interrogating challenges. It could be business or personal challenges, and really understanding, is the challenge or is it something else? And then looking for all sorts of ideas to get there. and then going through the what's stopping you. You know, what are the resistors? What are the assisters to get you there, and coming up with an action plan. So it's very methodical. You just need to do the
You got
work
to
like
do the work.
everything else. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I
Like
say to
everything
people.
else.
Well, it's funny. There's a lot. There's a couple of lines in my book after I put in a power tool, which are the exercises. And like 2 pages later, I say, I said, put down the book and go do that exercise. And you're still reading this. And everybody's always like, how did she know? Well, because that's human nature. You read it and you're like, yeah, that's me. Or in your head, you kind of do the exercise and you keep flipping the pages. It's like, no, put the book down, go get a pen and paper, write it down, do the work. Don't just read the book cover to cover and think you've got it all figured out and life's going to suddenly change. You have to do the work. And I love that. If you were to give some advice to those listening to say, you know, a two, three, four like actionable tools or things to do if they want to make a change or a pivot or an evolve up moment, what are just a few of those right off the bat that you kind of said it, but just to kind of
Sure, and I'll
formalize
tell
it
you
a
what I
bit.
used. So one of the things I did was list everything, right? I laid out to your point about pen and paper. Things become very real and tangible when you put them down. They also become less scary. So, you know, I listed all the reasons that I, you know, first I listed what I wanted to do, but I thought my heart's desire was. Then I listed the reasons why I thought it might work. And then you list like, okay, well, what might the barriers be? And then I looked at there really weren't. I mean, it was really that particular exercise for me at this point in my life was not hard to get through. But when you look at the barriers, you just start problem solving against each one. Okay, well, what can I do to make this a positive? You know, I read something recently where people just changing a word from have to get changes things. Like if you say, oh, I have to go to work early today. If you change it to I get to work, get to go to work early today, or I have to work out, I get to work out. Things become more of a privilege. It kind of speaks to your rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think it's important to reframe things. So all of a sudden the barriers weren't really barriers at all. And then you have to come up with a plan. Okay, well, what is this going to look like? And you have to be ready to pivot. So I feel like I keep pivoting in this, right? I don't know that I thought that there was going to be, I don't know what I thought as far as how much business or, but I'd want to knock on wood, but only have glass.
Here, I
but,
got
you
you.
know, thank you. So far, so good. But I do think that I never saw, or at least was aware of seeing how much if you put yourself out there in a way that is intentional and purposeful, things open up. And they really do. It's
It's
amazing.
amazing.
But you have to believe and you have to, you know, again, do the work. But I think just being that methodical of really understanding what's true to your heart and what you want to do, listing the positives and what you already have to get there, and then what you need are the barriers, and then making a plan.
Love that. That's fantastic advice and very on point. And gosh, I just love the clarity around it. And you're really embodying and living what so many people are going through. And so I just so appreciate you sharing so much of that, the journey, the insights, you know, the takeaways, the work you're doing. Super connected to so much of what we're doing. And I just love that. So thank you. I want to ask you kind of a fun question before we wrap things up. If you could have a dinner party and have three or four people that in some way have either inspired you or that you would love to have a conversation with, they could be dead or alive. Who would you want to have around your table to have a glass of wine and break bread
So
with?
many. I think the first person that really comes to mind is, well, two people come to mind from my family. One is going back to my dad, and really understanding more of what made him, and you know, talking about that because the like I said, the advice that he gave me was, you know, priceless for who I became. And he was a really quiet guy, so he really injected himself in a very targeted way, but always in the most profound ways and in the most pivotal moments. So him, my great grandmother, who brought everybody over here on my mother's side,
from where?
And she was from, well, it's a good question, but somewhere in Eastern Europe, because yeah. the boundaries kept changing, but
right.
Hungary, Poland, that area.
Oh, wow. My husband's family's Hungarian and my mother was Polish. So
oh, there you go.
That. Yeah.
So that area, because I often think about that generation and what it took them to get here. And this is another reason not to waste a moment or a lifetime. Because of what they went through to get you here, you know, yep. us here.
Us here.
To yes. start a life, you know, to make it stick. It's just pretty incredible. Like, you know, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And they did it, and, you know, they didn't complain. And unfortunately, they were also very quiet about a lot of things. So, you know, you don't really know all the stories or the yeah. lessons that they learned. So she would be another one. And she also... for older generations of my family, she was the one. She, you know, she sort of was the glue, the love, everything. So I would love to have her. I absolutely adore and admire Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
So she would be another one. I think she'd like my great grandmother, so that could work.
That'd be fun. They'd have a lot of fun. I could see the laughter.
Yes, yes. You know, you see the theme, you know, I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
If only she could have lived two lifetimes, we'd all be better off.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So those are a few.
I love that. It's fun to think about, like the people that, you know, there's the everyday people and mentors in our lives. And then yes. there are those who you really realize that you're really attracted to because of who they are, what they stand for, how they move through life, what they impart on us, just
yes.
a certain gracefulness, a certain wisdom, and they're people that we aspire to. I have an aunt who, when I was little, I'd be at her house every week, and she had her office in the home and was raising three young boys and is
wow.
one of the most profound Australian businesswomen and has been a visionary, still is, literally just opened another business, and she's in her mid-80s and opened another business
wow.
like 3 months ago, and we're all laughing that like but this was my like little girl role model going
yeah,
okay,
that's
I guess
amazing.
That's what just women do, like, you know, we didn't think
no
about
wonder you
it.
Started your own business.
Right. And she's in my book. I you know, she's just an extraordinary lady, and I think, you know, to see these role models in our lives and make
yeah.
it feel like that is normal is a really special thing. And to not, I didn't really realize it till many years later.
Right.
And I was like, wow, where did those early role models, and you know, the see her, she, you know, if you can see her, you can be her. A lot of,
right.
a lot of the things that you've done and the work you've done is so important to women.
Yes.
You know, but also important for men to be in those conversations.
Absolutely.
So that they understand the breadth and depth of how everybody needs to be behaving in the world. So
very yeah. true.
So
very true.
We could do a whole other show based on
You're
that conversation.
Yes.
So anyway, I just so appreciate you being on here today, Nadine. Thank you. I know you and I are going to continue always having conversations. So I'm just delighted that we've built this new friendship in the recent months, and I'm super excited for lots more to come. And thank you again for being a guest
on
my show. I really
thank you for being you.
Thank you for that
and for all that you're doing. It's important.
I appreciate it. And for those listening, I will have information on how to connect with Nadine in our show notes. Clearly, she's doing some extraordinary work, so I highly encourage you connect and find the common ground in areas where you can build and grow business together. And if you're looking for any more information or previous shows or blogs or inspired information or want to get a copy of the book, you can go to the reinventionexchange.com and pick up a copy or any other content that is going to inspire and motivate you in your life. And I wish you all an amazing day and happy reinventing. And thanks again, Nadine.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat Series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.